Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the wheat and the weeds. There's two parts to our reading this morning. The first part is the parable itself, and the second part is the explanation of the parable. So we're going to begin at Matthew 13, verse 24, which says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then the second part of our reading is the explanation of the parable, starting in verse 36 of Matthew 13. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" So, are you a weed or a stalk of wheat? Are you going to heaven or going to hell? Does God hear your prayers and respond to you? Or do you even care? You care when you're in trouble. You care when you're diagnosed with cancer. You care when your kid is sick or struggling. You care when you need a job or a miracle. You care when you're exhausted and just need a break. You care after you've really screwed up. That's when you care about your status as either weed or wheat. So who are the weeds and who are the wheat? Maybe not who you think. According to Jesus, the wheat who are going to heaven are not necessarily those we think of as righteous, not necessarily the straight shooters or the morally upright, not by our definition. You know, years ago in our Sunday school adult Bible study class, we spent months discussing the parable of the prodigal son. Most people assume the parable is about God's radical forgiveness of a wayward son who disrespected his father and spent his money on booze and prostitutes. We'd say, yes, the parable of the prodigal son is about God's radical forgiveness, and it is. But it's also about who's a weed and who's a stalk of wheat. It's about who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And the conclusion of the parable is surprising. At the end of the parable of the prodigal son, the older son, who rightfully claimed to have never done anything wrong, refused to enter the party that represented heaven. Refused to go in because his no-good, drunkard, whoring little brother was in there. In fact, the party was thrown to celebrate his little brother's return. But it's the older brother who clearly deserved a party, who deserved to be celebrated because of his obedience and his faithful work for his father, who represented God. But the parable ends with the law-abiding older brother standing outside of heaven, angry and refusing to go in, while the younger brother, the law-breaking brother, he's inside the party that represents heaven, and he's dancing. So who's the weed here, and who's the wheat? Well, it was the immoral and self-centered prodigal son who entered heaven. He'd been forgiven. And the exemplary brother? He was consumed with rage, standing outside of heaven. You know, we didn't read our epistle today from Romans 8, but in that epistle, the Apostle Paul uses a fascinating description. He refers to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The glory of the children of God is that we have been forgiven. Just like the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son, we've been forgiven, and our immorality and ugly self-centeredness has been wiped clean. And the freedom, Paul announces, is freedom from God's judgment and condemnation. So Paul's saying that we who cast our lot with Christ, God will never reject you or send you away. You're truly forgiven and accepted by God, like the wayward prodigal son. That's the gospel. And it's because of the gospel that an awful lot of us who appear to be weeds are actually wheat who are going to heaven. You know, God's word, the words of Scripture, can be divided into two parts, law and gospel. Gospel is the sweet good news of God's overwhelming compassion toward you and me, his love for you and me. The law, on the other hand, is instruction and warning regarding what you should do or what you should not do, what to avoid and what to practice. That's the law. I understand the appeal of the law. For years, I went to church thinking, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. For years, that was my mantra. And at first, it seemed easy. Just do it. Until I eventually realized I didn't do it. In fact, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep God's law. Truth be told, none of us keep God's law. We can't. And I didn't make that up. Read Romans 3 or Romans 7 or Matthew 5. But because we can't keep the law, that's how the law points us to Christ. It drives us to the realization that we need forgiveness. We need a Savior. At Christ the Vine, along with congregations all over the world who trace their roots to the Reformation, in our preaching, we're very intentionally looking first to the gospel. There's a reason for that. In the world you live in, the law is all around you. Get up. Don't be late or you'll lose your job. If you don't floss, your teeth will rot. If you don't buy groceries, your kids will starve. You got to lose weight. You got to quit drinking. You know, if you just invested more wisely, you wouldn't be in this position. The world is full of law, full of do's and don'ts and reminders of how you've failed. The law is in the air. It's the fabric of your life. It's written on your heart. Read Romans 2:15. The gospel, however, the proclamation that though you are sinful, Christ died for you, is an alien message. It makes no sense. It's hard to grasp. It seems far too good to be true. That God would come down from heaven, born as a human, and die as an atoning sacrifice for you. That's a message that needs to be repeated and repeated over and over. The gospel is what sets Christianity apart from every other religious idea out there. In fact, if you went to an Islamic mosque, the imam just might talk about your obligation to forgive. He might talk about your obligation to be charitable. He might rail against pornography. That's because every religion has a code of law and morality. But only Jesus died for us immoral lawbreakers. That's why churches are filled with people like us, imperfect, sinful, prodigal sons and daughters. We may be wheat, but we look more like weeds. You know, the law is important, but it can't save you. Forgiveness, hope, and salvation come from the gospel alone. And that's why we proclaim it over and over and over again every Sunday in the words we speak and sing. That's why we taste and touch it in the bread and wine, his body and blood given and shed for you. So if you're in trouble, or you've been diagnosed with an illness, or you have a child who's sick or struggling, if you need a job or a miracle, if you're exhausted and need a break, if you're overcome with grief, if you've really screwed things up this time, if you're afraid of what comes next, if you're filled with regret, you don't search for a law to keep. You turn to God and appeal to his ever steadfast love and abundant mercy. You turn to the gospel because Christ died in order that you be forgiven and live. At your baptism, you were marked as belonging to Christ. You received the Holy Spirit. So you can rest. You can relax. You're not a weed to be burned. You're God's beloved son or daughter. Today, your life has purpose. Tomorrow, you're destined for heaven. Regardless of what you've done or what you're struggling with now, he'll always take care of you. So be at peace. Amen.